You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. This is an absolutely fascinating story. If you recall, Americans were held hostage in Iran for 444 days. At least one of the, a number of the hostages are now saying that the newly elected president of Iran was one of their captors. In fact, this is a former hostage named David Rader who says he has no doubt whatsoever. He's a former Air Force colonel, is that right?
It stopped me cold in the middle of the room. You know, it wasn't one of those things where I said, you know, that's a familiar face. I knew exactly who that was and why I knew that face.
And, of course, the youngest hostage during that whole ordeal was Kevin Hermaning of Oak Creek, Wisconsin, who now joins us on the line. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Charlie. And in fact, as you may recall, and certainly your listeners do, David Rader is also a Milwaukee native.
You know, I had forgotten that. Thank you for reminding me.
His father was the principal at Whitefish Bay High School for a number of years.
So let's talk about this. When did you first hear that there was a possibility that the new president of Iran was one of your captors?
Well, certainly a number of folks in the national news media had contacted all of us, or as many as they could get a hold of yesterday. I had been following the election, as many folks who take an interest in international affairs and Middle East politics, for a number of weeks now. And this fellow was not actually expected to come out victorious. There was another candidate who was defeated, of course, in the main election, or the first election, the primary, if you will, before the runoff, who came out publicly stating that, yes, he was proudly involved in the captivity of the hostages back in 1979, but of course he was defeated. This is not the first time that there is a highly placed individual in the government of Iran who was involved in our captivity. The public face of the terrorists, of the captors, was the woman who was on television here in the United States almost daily, a spokeswoman. We called her by a variety of names, but some folks called her Philadelphia Mary.
Mm-hmm.
She studied in Philadelphia for several years, spoke fluent English, and so was the spokesperson. She is presently a vice president in charge of the environmental department over and around national government.
So they don't regard participation in the hostage-taking as a disqualifying or a bad thing, or disqualifying for high office in Iran?
Certainly not a bad thing, more like a badge of honor.
Really? Okay, so what is your conclusion? Is this guy, is the new president of Iran, was he in fact one of your captors, do you think?
Well, I believe that he was one of three or four folks who was intimately involved in the first days of the interrogations that took place. When we were first taken captive, all of us were in a variety of locations. Some folks were taken out of their apartments because they had been working third shift, were asleep in their rooms. Others, like myself, were on duty in the embassy, and I had the unfortunate experience of being in the communications vault at the time that the seizure actually took place, and so was the fourth last person taken. As a result, I had the unfortunate experience of spending about 3 weeks doing everything I could to convince the Iranians that I was merely a Marine security guard with no espionage activities, which is what they were really looking for.
Now, you looked at photos, you've gone on the internet to find out about this guy. And I read in the Washington Times this morning that you believe that you actually spoke with him and that he asked asked you for the combination to a safe?
Right. The first day, all of us who were taken out of the communications vault were asked to open up the safes of the various in various offices. And Marine guards, actually, at all embassies globally, are responsible for making sure that safes are locked at night, not are left open. And so we didn't really have that experience, and not that I would have provided it anyway, necessarily. You never know what somebody's going to do under extreme distress, but one I would certainly hope I wouldn't have. But I didn't know the combination, and the Russian roulette that ensued was an extremely frightening experience, one of the two or three major instances while we were in captivity where we feared for our lives.
Now, was he part of that?
He was part of those initial days of interrogations. Charles Scott, who's a man you didn't mention earlier, had the misfortune of having three of his teeth broken out at the gum lines during his interrogations and had no medical or dental treatment until we were freed 14 and a half months later.
And he was part of this Russian roulette that you're describing?
Yes, he was. Mahmoud was part of that whole effort, not just with me, but with some of the others as well.
You also mentioned that his English was pretty good.
Yes, well, a lot of these folks had studied in the United States. This fellow had never had an American university experience, but nonetheless, as you were elevating your position in a science or a technology university setting, and this fellow went to the Tehran University College for Science and Technology, he was in a position where he would have been forced to learn English.
Yeah, you mentioned Chuck Scott, who had his teeth broken, and this would obviously be a very memorable moment for me.
During his beatings, absolutely.
He said, "This is the guy. There's no question about it. You could make him a blonde and shave his whiskers, put him in a zoot suit, and I would still spot him." Now you know that the Iranians
are.
It's
a great quote, you know.
It is a great quote, and it doesn't leave much room for doubt. And obviously, something like that would be fixed in your mind. He's a retired Army colonel. The aides to the new president are saying no, absolutely not. He had nothing to do with it whatsoever. They're strongly denying this.
Yes, I think what you're seeing happen over there right now is the clerics who are behind this guy. And don't misunderstand, this person is not a religious guy whatsoever, but it's all about power and money. And if he can consolidate power for the cleric, but with a gray suit rather than a turban, that is going to play much better in some of the European Western capitals. But nonetheless, you can't take a turban off a terrorist and make him something other than what he is.
Yeah, you used that word a couple of times, terrorists. If you could just talk a little bit about that, because you see, obviously, we are in a war on terrorism. You see these guys as being part of that war?
Charlie, I do. The president several years ago talked about the axis of evil, and he included not just Iraq, but also North Korea and Iran. Iran has been on the United States State Department's terrorism state watch list for 26 years. Not one year have they been removed from that list. Iran has been one of the primary backing sponsors of international terrorism. Leon Klinghoffer was killed by Abu Abbas, who spent time in Iran in the training camps. The Ayatollah Khomeini and his followers had played a big role for a number of years in financially supporting these folks and providing them with safe haven. I don't think simply because we're trying to be politically correct that we should begin calling them something other than they were, and I believe still are in large measure. It doesn't mean that the majority of the Iranian people...
No, I understand that. The people who are involved in this kind of activity is who you're talking about.
Absolutely. Which is a small percentage of the folks who live there.
You were about 19 years old at the time you were captured, weren't you?
I was 20. I had my 21st birthday in captivity. So these folks who are holding us, by and large, except for the military people, the Iranian armed forces who eventually got involved in this, the people who captured us were within 1 or 2 years of my age. This fellow is only 2-3 years older than I am.
You were there for 444 days. I assume that you've watched the controversies about the detainees at Guantanamo Bay with some interest. Were you held under substantially better conditions than the terrorist detainees that we have in Guantanamo Bay?
No, we were not. I spent 43 days in solitary confinement in a room that was about 5 by 10. There was no mattress in that floor, in that room. It was not a pleasant experience, and frankly, I had one of the more pleasant experiences there, and I use that very loosely. Some of the people had terrible experiences. Tom Ahern from Fond du Lac spent 425 days in solitary confinement.
You weren't given rice pilaf and supplied with your own personal Bibles?
Well, actually, I was going to say, to be fair, the only thing that because there is such an emphasis and importance of religion in that part of the world, it probably will surprise folks and you. They did provide us with Bibles.
Really?
And, yes, American citizens sent over Bibles by the box, and the Iranians did pass those around to us. I still have the Bible that I was given on my fourth day in solitary confinement. I have it to this day. I read it four times from cover to cover while I was in those 6 weeks of solitary.
So bottom line, well, that is interesting. I didn't know that. Bottom line, have you talked to some of the other former hostages in the last 48 hours?
No, I haven't. The last time I spoke with any of my colleagues from that time there, and unfortunately about a dozen folks have already passed away, and I was the youngest of everyone there. I'm 46 now, but these people who had worse experiences than I did, I really, I have followed this situation. I realize this guy's going to have an inauguration pretty soon. I'm certainly not making plans to go.
Yeah.
Nor do I expect that we'll get invited.
Yeah, you won't be invited to the ball or whatever they happen to have. Okay, well, on the larger picture, I mean, how should the rest of us react to this? How should the U.S. government react to the fact that the president of Iran was one of the captors? Does this change anything?
I don't think it changes anything yet, Charlie. The president this morning was asked about it and did an excellent job of not playing politician, which, of course, he is, but President Bush is very insightful, and he's talking about how time will tell whether the United States and its allies are going to be able to work with this fellow. The biggest concern that I have is, I guess there's two issues. One is his strong ambitions for nuclear capacity in his country. He has already said that one of his major objectives is going to be to reinitiate and accelerate their move toward becoming a nuclear power. It may not surprise too many people who do follow this to learn that the very first congratulatory phone call that the president-elect received in Iran was from President Chavez from Venezuela, no friend of the United States, of course.
And not reassuring on any level.
Precisely.
We're talking with Kevin Hermaning, the former Iranian hostage. What did you think of the president's speech the other night?
He is so, he is such a visionary that it is clear to me that the president is in his position in this day and age because he needs to be there. And the good sense of the people of the United States in reelecting him last November, I think, is really going to help our country in its national security and economic security interests for the next several years.
All right, Kevin, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you.
Kevin Hermaning, former U.S. Marine, youngest of the hostages that were seized in Tehran on November 4th, 1979, and held for 444 days, and he and others are saying that they recognize the guy who has just been elected the president of Iran as one of those, and he uses the word terrorists, who captured him and was involved in some of the very, very brutal interrogations. You're listening.